This is 21st Century Reformation at 21stcr.org. The title of this session tonight, I'm calling it The In Him, By Him, and Through Him Gospel. And the point that we want to make is this, that our oneness views greatly overthrow this concept of in Him, by Him, and through Him gospel. And that's what we want to take up and talk about tonight. And I think as we go along, you'll agree with me that this is a real problem from our oneness standpoint, our oneness views. And so we're going to move kind of along through these things quickly. But we just want to begin. What do we mean in Him, by Him, and through Him? And you might find some other kinds of prepositions to put in there somewhere. It's all in Him, isn't it? It's everything. But why is it all in Him? Because it pleased the Father that in Him God would have everything for us in Jesus. So, John 3:16, I know when I was a oneness person, I was almost a little uncomfortable with that verse. Yes. It's like, it's like kind of like one of them Trinitarian verses, as though there were any Trinitarian verses, right?
Right. Amen.
But now I rejoice in this verse.
Amen.
I can say it with clarity of heart and mind and spirit, and it's wonderful, but it begins right. It says, what? God so loved the world.
Yes.
Okay, yes. Humanity. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Sonship. No, He gave His only begotten Son, right? He gave His only begotten Son. That whosoever believeth, and here's our preposition, in Him. In Him. All right. Would not perish, but have everlasting life. So there's the idea of in Him. Let's take a look at this. And the fact that I said as a oneness person, this verse was a little odd to me, shows that I've got a problem here relative to the in Him gospel. So what is this verse saying? This verse, John 3:16, and we're all familiar with it, of course. This is saying that whosoever believeth in Him, okay, would not perish.
Right.
Well, I think I've made a note in your outline what it means to believe, because I think we have lost touch with that. But your Young's analytical concordance says that to believe is simply this. It means to trust in somebody, to adhere to somebody, and to rely on somebody. That's the significance of the Greek word is pistuo. You might put that away for someday, it might come in handy. But it really meant something to the people of the Bible, and didn't mean exactly what we sometimes construe believe to mean. It meant not just what you cognitively thought in your head about something. It meant what you did with your life.
Yes, that's good.
So when you're saying, hey, I trust in Jesus. I adhere to Him. What do you think about when you think about hearing? I think about adhesives. Something that sticks to something else. So if you believe in Jesus, it doesn't just mean what you do with your head. In your life, you cling to Him. You're bound to Him and you will not let Him go.
That's good.
You know.
Amen.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, and then I rely on Him. When it comes down to the struggles and the battles and the leading of life that I need in His Word, I rely on Him.
Yes.
I trust Him.
Oh, yes.
That's what believing meant to them. Mm-hmm. And I think we've lost some of that, don't you? In our modern Christianity, I think that some of that has been lost. So, but when you said you believe in Him, that's what it meant. So what John 3:16 is really telling us, that whosoever trusts in, relies on, adheres to Him, they will not perish, but they're going to have everlasting life.
Yes.
So that, you're getting the sense here about the in Him gospel, what we're talking about in Him.
That's great.
Okay. John 14 and 6. This one, if you haven't memorized that one, you need to, because it's so critical and essential to understanding so many things. But this time it's Jesus himself. And Jesus is saying this, you'll remember this, I am what? The way. I'm not a way, I am the way.
Yes.
I am what? The truth.
Yes.
You want to know what truth is? It's in him.
Yes.
Okay. I'm the way, I am the truth, and I am what? The life. What life? Eternal life.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And here's the deal. No man. This is generic this time. It's man, woman, whoever you are. Nobody comes to the Father except by me.
That's good.
Wow. Now that's very interesting. But remember this. The goal is to get to the Father. How are we going to get there? Through Jesus.
Yes.
Through his teachings, through his word, by being his disciples, by clinging to him, holding to him, adhering to him, trusting him. That's how we come to God.
Amen.
That's this. Now we can see it's in Jesus. It's by Jesus. But what's the goal? Life in God. Coming to the Father. No man comes to the Father except by me. But remember, never forget, the goal is to get to the Father.
Yes.
Wow.
Amen.
And then I like this one, which follows along this line. Ephesians, the second chapter, verse 18. Paul says, for through him,
yes,
we both. Now he's referring to Gentiles and Jews. Is what, if you look at the context, both us Jews and us the Gentiles, we all have access by one Spirit unto the Father.
Yes.
Okay, but notice those words. Who do you think the him is? Through him we have access,
all right,
to the Father.
All right.
So now we're catching this, aren't we? So John 3:16, we've got in him, you're going to believe in him, and that's going to get you to eternal life. And then we had John 14 and 6. Jesus says he's the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by him. So there's our preposition by. Okay. And then we found here in the book of Ephesians, and the second chapter in verse 18, we have access to the Father by way of Spirit, but our access is through who? Through him.
Yeah.
So now you see where I get the title for our talk tonight. It is a in him, by him, and through him gospel. Here's the problem that we had as oneness people. If you're going to take Jesus and turn him into God, there is no by him, through him left then. You're just saying Jesus is God.
Right.
That's the reason that in our testimony services as oneness people, you didn't find people standing up and saying things like, you know, I'm just so thankful that I can come to God through Jesus.
Right.
That didn't work for us, right? It didn't for me. And you never heard anybody standing up. You probably didn't hear anybody in a oneness church standing up and quoting John 3:16 unless they were just new and didn't know not to. What do you think?
It's true.
So here we are. But we could do that now, couldn't we?
Oh, yeah.
I could begin to speak those words and feel the Spirit of the Lord. And realize, hey, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him, that's me. Ha ha! Because I've got an in him gospel. Ah, yeah. I'm not going to come to God on my own. I'm not worthy to come to God and all that, but his Son, his only begotten Son. If I'm trusting in his Son, the Scripture has said, God will receive me. And it's like, wow. I think I made this comparison one time. We raised two girls and it was wonderful. And but they had lots of friends and people and from school and all that when they were growing up. And sometimes you got up in the mornings and There was people in there, you know, sleeping on your floor in the living room. You didn't know who it was, right? But you know what would happen? Sister Gail would be in there making those people breakfast that we didn't know who they were. You know why? They were the friends of our daughters. They got caught in the deal, right? They slept on our floors. They ate our food. They were welcome in our home. Why? Because they were Jennifer's friend or they were Becky's friend.
Yes. Yes.
Guess what? With God, He so loves His Son that if you're the friend of His Son, you're received with God. Amen? That's what the in Him, by Him, through Him gospel is all about. And we didn't have that in our oneness days. I didn't have it. I'm happy to have it now.
Amen.
I'm glorifying God about that now.
Good.
Yeah. So now I can come to God and say, hey, you know, I'm with Him.
Yeah.
I'm with Him.
Amen.
And that's going to hold with me, you guess, you know, all the way to the day of judgment.
Right.
When I stand there on the day of judgment, I don't intend to stand there and say, well, you know, oh God, I did this, I did that, I was a pretty good guy, and I did, and so on and so forth, and I guess you noticed that I did this nice thing. You know, I'm not going to do that. You know what I'm going to do on the day of judgment? I just want to be able to point to the Son of God and say to God, I'm with Him.
Yeah.
I loved Him. He was my Lord.
Yeah.
I followed Him.
Yeah.
Mm. Yes. This in Him, by Him, through Him gospel is something I did not really have as a oneness person. It was lost to me. But now I have it. And now I'm glad and I'm thankful. And I want my oneness friends to discover the in Him, by Him, through Him gospel and rejoice in it like I do. And quote John 3:16 like I do. And quote John 14:6 and say the goal is to get to the Father. Jesus can do it. He can get us there. Wow. We have access to the Father through Him. I like it. God likes us because we like Jesus.
Yeah.
You know, that's because that puts us on the same page with God at that point, doesn't it?
Right.
Yeah. On the same moment when I'm saying to God and I'm saying, oh my God, I thank You for this and I thank You for that and the things You've done for me and I appreciate it. But you know what? Above all, I thank You for Your Son, Jesus, my Lord.
Hallelujah.
Nothing is like Him. I love, you know what? I've got God's ear right there. When God went to the trouble to speak from heaven, He didn't do that many times in the entire Bible.
True.
Actually, you can count them up pretty quick. But you know, when God took the trouble to speak from heaven on occasions there in the New Testament, say, this is my Son. And then call Him my beloved Son. That's kind of old English for saying, this is my Son, I love Him. Wow. My goodness. When I love Him, me and God are suddenly have something in great in common with one another. I love His Son and He loves His Son, and suddenly, you know what it really is? All the blessings of God are poured out upon His Son. But those blessings spill over onto those who are His people, the people of His Son. And that's why we're here. And that's why we can say, we owe it all to Jesus. We do. Yes, we do. Yeah. And it was more than just that He died, though it was that. But He obeyed the Father and pleased God in all things. I do always those things that please Him. My goodness. Setting aright what Adam did wrong. And it wasn't just some sort of technical thing. Jesus was about the business of buying back humanity for God. The God who made us is now going to find us again through this Son who obeys Him, this Son who pleases Him.
That's good.
What does it mean? It just means I'm adhering to Him, relying on Him, trusting in Him, hanging on to Him for dear life, and I know God receives me because of that. That's what faith really is. You want faith in Jesus? Get that kind of faith. It's a whole lot more, frankly, than what we've allowed it to become in our churches nowadays and in our religious movements. And we have this, you know, yes, I accept Jesus as my personal Savior. And okay, fine. But I'm going to say that doesn't even touch what God sees in the person who would trust in his son.
That's right. That's good.
You're going to walk with him. You're going to talk with him. You're going to hang on to him, and you're going to cling to him, and he's going to teach you, and you're going to walk that way, and this is our peace with God.
That's right.
Wow. It is. I love that verse. I don't think it's in this outline, but the verse in Romans 5:1, it's a verse that just came to mean an awful lot to me when I was coming to understand these things. But, you know, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through.
Yes.
See this through business?
Yes, amen.
Through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Wow.
We don't have it through some sonship. We have it through somebody. Through Jesus. And who is Jesus? He's our Lord.
Yes.
Who is Jesus? He's the begotten Son of God. And I don't like to hear people call him sonship. What is that supposed to mean? What are you talking about, for goodness sake? He is the Son of God.
Right.
He is my Lord. Wow. Okay, so we take him out of the way then, and we remove him, but we diminish him in any sense, and we're terribly messing up God's program for us, God's plan, what God's doing, and it can't possibly make God happy. I don't see how it could. It's not according to his will. So we're looking here now about this business in the outline. We're looking at this business about a mediator. Now that sounds kind of like an odd word. What does that mean? It's not the sort of word we use every day in our lives usually, but it is actually a Bible word, and it does have a powerful meaning. This time it's right. But a mediator is what? It's a go-between, isn't it?
Yes.
Somebody to come between parties.
Right.
Yeah.
And to bring parties to peace, perhaps, or bring them to reconciliation or agreement.
Right.
That's what a mediator does.
That's right.
Would you say that one who is the mediator between us and God Almighty is a very important figure?
Yeah.
I would think so. Do you really want to mess with that or say, our mediator doesn't amount to much? He's kind of like a mediatorship. Well, no, he's a person. Do you see what I mean? This is really much different than that, isn't it? So 1 Timothy 2:5, you should know this one by heart. If you don't, you will. But 1 Timothy 2:5, it said in verse 4, Paul says, for it's the will of God that all men would come to the knowledge of the truth.
Yes.
Remember that?
Yes.
But actually, then verse 5 is an expression of what that truth is that God wants all men to come to.
That's right.
That there is one God.
Yes.
One God.
Yes.
And one mediator, one go-between, between God and man or mankind.
Mm-hmm.
The mediator is the man,
yes.
Christ Jesus.
Yes.
Now you tell me if there was ever a time in the history of the Bible that somebody was going to have a chance to make it clear that he was a God-man. This was it, wouldn't it?
Uh-huh.
That would have been the moment.
That's right.
I've even had people to argue with me, say, well, he had to be a God-man to be the mediator. I said, read Paul. Whoever's the mediator is whoever God decides will be the mediator. And God gave the mediatorship not to an angel.
No.
He didn't give it to somebody else.
Amen.
He gave it to one of us.
That's right. That's right.
Once again, God keeps stacking things in our favor, doesn't he? He gave it to one of us who loved us enough to die for us and understands our plight. And he sympathizes with our weaknesses. And yes, that's the one God said, he's going to be the mediator between me and the people.
Right.
Yeah. Wow.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
You think about it.
Yes, it's good.
Do you want to mess with that and say, oh, well, that guy, the mediator thing, that's kind of like an office or something. Well, it's something he's doing that God gave him to do, but he is a person doing it, isn't he?
Oh, yes.
Amen.
Yeah, he is.
Sir.
Oh, my.
Sir.
So I've had folks, I think, there's a lady in our church who tell you this day that one verse is what caused it to click for her.
Right.
She'd been wanting this all her life.
Awesome.
She said that verse. I got to thinking about it one day, and she said there it was. There is one God, and conjunction, and that means in addition to the one God, there's something else. And there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. What could Paul do? Draw us a picture? Could he make it any clearer?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Now you say, I would have thought, well, if I was figuring this thing out, I might have said, well, we'll put an angel to be the mediator. Mm-hmm. He's kind of in between God and men. Mm-hmm. Absolutely not.
Right.
And this God-man fiction, and that's all it is, no word in the Bible ever, and as I've said, there was ever going to be a time you'd put it in there, this would have been the time, the God-man between God and man. Nope. What does it say? It says what we say. The man Christ Jesus is the one that God has chosen to be between God and men.
Right.
We are blessed people. We're blessed to have this one between us and God. It's the in him, by him, through him gospel. If gospel means good news, then it's the in him, by him, through him good news. We're understanding this. It's time the world did.
Yes, sir. Amen.
By the way, Paul didn't put 1 Timothy 2 and 5 in the past tense, did he?
No, sir.
I had one minister one time. He was well intended. But he's saying, well, that was all about his mediatorship. That's when about him dying on the cross historically. And that's what he did back then. It doesn't have anything to do with us now. Obviously, we don't need a mediator now in his mind because Jesus is God and you don't have, it doesn't make sense to have a mediator then, and like that. But this is not what Paul said, is it? Think about 1 Timothy 2 and 5 again. It's your verse. It belongs to one God people, and I mean the real one God people. Okay. And what does the verse say? It says, for there is, present tense, when Paul was writing it, there is one God. And there is, present tense, one mediator between God and men. That one is Jesus Christ, the man Christ Jesus. By the way, what does that word Christ mean? The anointed Jesus, the one God chose to anoint from among men. Yeah, okay. Okay. So in 1 John 2 and 1, I used to kind of think this was like sort of a Trinitarian-like verse too. But 1 John 2 and 1, remember, John writes to the people. He says, my little children, these things write I to you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous.
Yes.
The righteous one. Now think about what that's saying.
We have
somebody between us and God. Is that a bad thing? No, it's a very good thing in this case. It's excellent. We have somebody bringing us to God. We have somebody that we're relying on, trusting in, adhering to bring us to God and to the life that God gives to those who are the followers of his son Jesus. So here he is. He's an advocate. Well, what does an advocate do? An advocate pleads the cause of another, right? Our lawyers are referred to many times as advocates. You have, and in some legal sense, that's what they are. So you say, okay, so do you have a lawyer? Do you have an advocate? Somebody to speak for you.
All right.
Jesus is our advocate.
Yes.
He's the one who's going to go to God. You know what he's going to say? To God, so to speak, in our picture here, he's going to God. If any man sin, we have an advocate. What does the advocate do? He says to the Father, hold your hand, this is one of mine. This is my disciple.
That's good.
I died for him, or I died for her.
Wow.
How's that for an advocate?
Yes.
It's not advocateship. It's a person. It's the one who is our advocate. And this is wonderful. And who is he? He's the Son of God.
Yes.
Will God listen to him? Yes, he will.
Yes.
And when he pleads our cause, when that Son pleads our cause,
yes. That's good.
God listens to him.
Yes.
So in Hebrews, the 4th chapter, in verses 14 through 16,
Seeing then we have a great high priest
that has passed into the heavens. That has passed into the heavens.
Jesus, the Son of God.
Jesus, the Son of God. Whoa. Okay. Read.
Let us hold fast
to something. Let's don't let go at all. Let's hold fast to what?
Our profession.
Our profession of faith. Okay.
For we have not an high priest.
For we don't have a high priest.
Which cannot be touched.
Which can't be touched.
With the feeling of our infirmities.
With the feeling of our infirmities. That's inverted language. What it really means is we do have a high priest that can be touched by the feelings of our infirmities.
Yes.
Oh, read on.
But was in all points.
Here's why he can be touched. He was in all points.
Tempted,
tested, put to the test, like as we are.
Yet
he did not give in. He did not sin. I said before, and it's absolute truth, if Jesus was God, then him not sinning is no, I don't mean this irreverently, but it's no big deal. I mean, what did you expect?
Exactly, right.
He didn't give in to Satan. And if he was God, well, that's kind of silly, of course. You know, God's going to give in to Satan. Well, Satan, I guess you got me here. This is God Almighty. It makes no sense, does it? No sense whatsoever. Wow. Huh. But if Jesus was one of us, standing up for the rest of us, and he was begotten of God, but a true human, truly one of us, the second Adam, come to set right what Adam made wrong. Bring us to God. Be our mediator. Be our advocate. Be the one who's going to stand up for the rest of us with God and plead for us and plead our cause. Then this means something that he told Satan, no, 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 and stood. Means something to God too, doesn't it?
Yes. Oh, yes.
Yeah, it means something that one of us did stand. Where Adam failed, he came and he took the stand in hell. By the way, if Jesus was God, Satan's the dumbest creature in all existence. He was the absolute biggest fool in all humanity. He's going to try to convince God that he ought to fall down and worship him or stuff like that. I mean, Satan isn't worthy to be called Satan. He wouldn't make a good Satan at all. What kind of deal is that?
Come on.
Or else he was so inept he didn't know he was God. Yes. What do you think?
Yeah.
Ah. Yeah.
All right.
So this is just, that's just silliness, y'all. I'm sorry, but it is silliness. And it's time we have to begin to call it what it is.
Yes.
Oh, but defend our Jesus. You know why? Because if we give in to this stuff, he was actually God or a God-man and all of that stuff, then you just ruined what Jesus did for us by resisting temptation, by resisting sin. And now I'm not going to be happy about it. I'm not going to be glorifying God because he was God. So what did I expect? Of course he's going to resist. What are you talking about? The problem again in James 1:13, James says God can't even be tempted. Isn't that our point? Jesus couldn't be God. He was tempted. God can't even be tempted. Wow.
Good preaching.
I love our Lord. I love him a whole lot more than I used to. I love him a whole lot more than when I was a oneness person thinking he was some odd creation, a God-man, God, we don't know what. Now I love him because I know how much he loved us really. He wasn't a God masquerading as a man. He was truly one of us, God's only begotten Son, and yet he humbled himself even to the point of death on the cross.
Amen.
And died for the rest of us. That I love. And I admire him like I never used to admire him when I thought the God thing and all that. It was just terribly confusing. It was ruining the whole storyline, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. But now I admire Jesus.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I'll stand up for him. You know why? Because he stood up for us. We should stand by him. He stood for us. And it wasn't some kind of a hoax or a fraud or a God masquerade. It was for real. That's the reason it was so important what we read last night in Acts 17:31. You know, when God raised him from the dead, that's our assurance God's going to raise us from the dead. Ha! And trusting in his Son buys us, brings us great favor with God.
Yes, it does.
And my. So this is great, but we're not done. Where are we, at here, Pastor?
16.
All right.
Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need.
Let us therefore. You know what therefore means? It's a connector. It means, based on what we just said, therefore, now this. What is the writer here saying? Let us, because we have a high priest who has passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, and because he can be touched by our weaknesses and our failings and our infirmities, because he too was tempted in all respects as we are, because of that, now what can we do? Verse 16,
let us therefore come
boldly. Let us come boldly
unto the throne of grace.
That we might obtain mercy.
And find grace.
To help in time of need.
That's good, yes.
Now think about it, folks. I still remember in one church that I was in as a young person. There was a dear lady. I love that woman. Still love her to this day, though she's gone on. But, you know, I still remember. She would get up and quote verse 16. And it would just make you want to shout. Oh, let us come boldly before the throne of grace. That we might find this great mercy and grace in our time of need. Let's come before the throne of grace. We can do it, folks. It's wonderful. That dear, dear woman, God bless her, never ever understood the connection of what had just been said by the writer. We have a high priest that's passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God. He was tempted like us. He was tried like us, yet without sin. Therefore, we can come before the throne of grace. We can come before God. We can be blessed of God, receive mercy, receive kindness. We got to understand the therefore. Therefore, let it be so. That's what Jesus bought us. That's why I believe in this in him, by him, through him. Gospel. Yeah. Oh, my land. But that's an example, too, of how we lost all of that. This dear woman, devout, knew her scripture. She was wonderful. I loved the woman. She was a good woman, kind to me. Loved her and all that. And yet, in her oneness, there was a veil over her eyes. She could not see those first verses that gave the meaning to the one she liked to get up and quote.
Yeah.
Now I know I'm quoting them all and I'm rejoicing over all of it. What do you think?
Amen.
We need to broaden our horizons, don't we? Yeah. Oh. But I love it. So we can obtain mercy. How do we get this mercy? We get it through this one who is our advocate, our mediator. Our high priest, who cares about us, who's touched. When it says he can be touched by our infirmities, that means when he sees us in weakness, rather than being turned against us, he remembers what it was like to struggle. He remembers what it was like to be in this state, and he's kind and loves us. Be his people. Walk with him. Adhere to him. Hold to him. Trust in him. And we have a place where God will hear us anytime. The throne of grace. It's wonderful. Hebrews the 9th chapter, verse 24.
For Christ has not entered into the holy place made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself.
Hold it now. Wait a minute. They're back into this business about where Christ went, right?
That's good.
Okay. We just read that in Hebrews a moment ago in the 4th chapter, verses 14 and 15. He's passed into the heavens. Right?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, we're over here a little later. The same writer is telling us, Christ, who's that? That's the anointed one. God, the one God anointed, chose him and anointed him. And what has he done? He's now gone into heaven.
Yeah.
Read it again for us there.
But into heaven itself.
Into heaven itself.
Now to appear. In the presence of God for us.
Oh, what do you think?
All right.
Now, as a oneness person, I would have wanted to have said, he is now entered into heaven now to appear as God. No. He has entered into heaven now to appear in the presence of God for us. That's the in him, by him, through him gospel. And I'm liking it a lot.
Amen.
Wow. So I had a good oneness pastor one time, and he brought up this very verse, Hebrews 9, 24. 24, and I still remember him talking about it. And he looked at us young fellows, and I guess he was going to make a point with us. He read that verse, now to appear in the presence of God for us. And he said, how would you answer that? Like as if you don't know. And I kept waiting for him to answer. He never did. To this day, he never answered the question. Well, okay. How about instead of saying, how would you answer that? Why don't we just get in there and rejoice about it?
Yes.
It's plain. It's straight. It's forward. It's clear.
Yes, sir.
He's now entered into heaven itself, there to appear in the presence of God for us. Hallelujah. That's all I have to say about that.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
That's good.
So Paul talks about the life he lives now. And I think we tended to diminish that. As one. We didn't know what to do with Jesus being in heaven exactly. We didn't like him being at the right hand of God. So we said somehow that just means power. We talked about
right.
that a little last
right.
night. So that doesn't mean anything. I don't know what that's supposed to mean. But anyway, but we're just kind of trying to do away with any significance of him being there. We don't know what to do with him for a while. I'll show you what they're going to do with him before it's over here in a minute.
Yeah.
But we don't know what to do with him. But they actually, in the New Testament, they weren't in that quandary at all. They were glorying in the fact that Jesus was in heaven. The writer of Hebrews is saying he's passed into heaven, and because he has and he's there and he can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, we now can go before the throne of grace and receive all sorts of mercy and grace and kindness
yes.
of God.
Yes.
That's what they were saying. Why didn't we say that as one of his people? I don't know. I think I do. We were just not right. So here we were, and the writer of Hebrews was saying he's passed into the heavens, right into the heaven itself, and he appears in the presence of God for us. As one as people, we didn't go around banding proud about a verse like that. It was just kind of a quandary. It was kind of a problem. But not so. They glory in the life of Jesus now. I can glory in the life of Jesus now. What about you? I can be happy about these things. So here we are, Romans, the 5th chapter, verse 10, if you would read that, Pastor.
Romans 5 and 10. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son.
Okay. This we recognize, right? We're familiar with this. When we were enemies of God, when we were on the outside of this thing, we know that we came to be reconciled with God by the death of his Son.
Right.
Okay, we're all for that. Not the death of his flesh part, by the way.
Right.
Not the death of his sonship. Mm-hmm. The death of his Son.
Yes.
All right. So, but there's another part to this. That we pretty much understand in Christianity. Oh, yeah, okay, that's right. But what about this last part? Read the last part for us, Pastor.
Much more.
Yes.
Being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life.
Aha.
Right.
Now, I want you to notice something. Paul's not talking about the life he lived back then. He's talking about the life he lives now.
Yes.
This is so important. That's the reason the writer of Hebrews could say things he did about him passing into the heavens and being in the presence of God for us. And that he's our mediator. And John could call him our advocate with the Father. That's all present tense. It's happening now. So what Pastor just read there in part B of that is that if we've been reconciled to God by the death of his Son, the death of his Son that he died historically on the cross, how much more will we be reconciled to God, be in unity with God, be in harmony with God by the life that his Son is living right now as our mediator, our advocate, as our friend?
Yes.
Yeah. We could truthfully say we have a friend in very high places. Wow.
Yes.
So there you are. Have you ever thought about that? Romans 5 and 10, it's a very important verse about the life that Jesus lives now and that has significance to us now, today.
Right.
Well, we pick up this thought, and this is kind of easy to remember then, in the 6th chapter in verse 10.
Yeah.
Okay. Next chapter and same verse number. What does he say in this verse?
Oh, this is good. Mm-hmm. For in that he died.
Yes.
Whew. He died unto sin once.
Yes.
He died to sin one time.
Yes.
But in that he liveth, mm-hmm. he liveth unto God.
Oh my glands.
Yes.
I like that. But now he lives, and how and what does he live to and about? And he lives unto God.
Right.
Now, I would have, as a oneness person, said he lives as God. No, he doesn't. He lives unto God and for the rest of us, right?
Hallelujah.
Wow. What do you think?
It's good.
Read the next verse, if you will, verse 11.
Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Did you get that word through?
Yes, sir. Yes.
What do you think?
Yes.
What do you think? Are we right about this in him, by him, through him gospel?
Yes,
did you ever sit in your oneness church and have them preach this to you? I don't ever remember it, unfortunately, but they did not because they cannot.
Right.
But God has given it to us. Here we have it. Let's celebrate it. If we don't speak this word, who will? Wow. So I like that a lot. So he dies no more. Death has no more dominion over him. He lives unto God. Whoa. And isn't that our confidence again? God raised him from the dead.
Yes.
That shows he'll raise us from the dead. He lives unto God. What are we going to do? We're going to live unto God.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's our confidence. A man is in the presence of God for us. And what are we going to do? We're going to be in the presence of God too forever.
Amen.
Right.
Yes, amen.
Very good.
My goodness. So we were looking at this life he lived and the life he lives now, and we're beginning to see how significant all that is for us. It's in him, by him, through him, not only on the cross, but now it's still in him, by him, through him.
Yes, it is.
He's still the leader of God's people. He's still the one that we're hearing to, trusting in, relying on.
Right.
So then that brings us to this thought. Of all the complications and difficulties with our oneness views, I don't think anything ever struck me so severely as this point. Okay, and it's the next point that I mentioned in our outline, and that is that we're doing away with the sun. Okay, let's follow this for just a moment. We have, in our oneness view, we unfortunately seized upon the idea of diminishing the sun. Because if you're going to have somebody who's both man and God, what turns out to always be the big part of that? The God part, right? And what's the man thing? Really teeny. Okay. So in our theology, our Christology, and all the things we did, that's the way we're looking at it. He's God, okay, and man. Now, we said 100% of each. I don't know what that means. Like somebody said, that means he was 200%. I don't get that. But anyway, but that's, again, not Bible language. It never said he was 100% man and 100% God.
Amen.
Said he was a man and the Son of God.
Yes.
Okay. But here's the problem. Not only do we diminish Jesus along the way by turning him into a sonship, okay, and that's a problem, okay. But we all came down to the end and we decided that in the end, it doesn't make sense to have him hanging around anymore. The son or sonship, whatever we're going to call it. And so in our oneness views, then we adopted the attitude, well, in the end result, the sonship will kind of cease to exist. And it's just going to go back to being the eternal God forever.
Right.
Whatever that's supposed to mean. Okay. And actually, this kind of word and language then came across. Again, if I can just read you this comment from Mr. McGee's book. And I'm not picking on him or whatever. I am, however, taking very sharp difference to what he had to say.
Yes.
And there's no other way to do it, I know, that to make that clear than to say it. All right, so here's what he said. The Bible tells us when the sonship will cease. All right, we got the first problem is sonship. What are you talking about? Being as the Bible didn't talk about Jesus being sonship, you got a real problem right to begin with. Okay. But the Bible tells us when sonship will cease, and we're talking about a verse that never says anything about Jesus ceasing. The verse he's quoting is in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 28, and you're probably familiar with that. So I won't belabor it. But that verse is saying the Son will be there forever. The fact is, he'll be subject to the Father forever.
That's right.
What does that do away with the Son? Oh, my goodness. Remember I told you, our oneness people, we had our own little mysteries and strange things like the Trinitarians. We just didn't want to see it or admit it.
You're right. Come on.
Okay. He said, you know, everything that we needed the Son for will be done. Don't need him anymore. So we're going to kind of do away with it. Y'all, that's probably one of the awfulest ideas in the history of Christianity.
All right.
I talked with a oneness minister one time and his wife. And they brought up this. The sonship is going to cease. First of all, I'm just absolutely frustrated by you calling it sonship. Let's go ahead and call it what it is. The son is going to cease then. Well, it's sonship, but whatever you're going to do. But I had a talk with him. Sharon was there, and she remembers this very well. We were sitting at our dining room table, and we talked with this minister, pastor. Said, well, it's going to cease. I said, wait a minute. What do you mean he's going to cease? Well, it's kind of like he's going to be just promoted out of existence. He's going to go out of existence. Call it a promotion if you want to. I would call that a demotion. I don't know what you want to say with it.
Right, amen.
How can any people even talk about doing away with the Son? How can you even talk about, how can you even think about such a thing? And yet, we did, and they do. This is, if you want to talk about an Achilles heel or a serious failing, help your oneness friends to see this one.
All right.
Oh, my lands.
Yes.
And if they haven't heard their local pastor talking about it, it's in the books, like
right.
McGee's and other books.
Right.
It's been around forever. When I was a kid, I grew up believing that. They told me when I was a kid growing up. Well, at the end, you know, the sonship's going to cease and they'll go back to just being the eternal God, whatever that meant. I guarantee you, 1 Corinthians 15:28 says nothing about any of that.
That's right. It doesn't. Amen.
So what we had then, I told the pastor, I said, well, wait a minute. I said, let me ask you something. I said, Jesus, the Son, died on the cross a terrible death and spilled his blood so that you could live forever. Yes. And I said, and he doesn't get to live forever?
All right.
Frankly, it stunned the man, didn't it, Sharon? He didn't know what to, he was just stunned. How do you imagine that he's going to buy us eternal life and give to us the chance to live with God forever, and he doesn't get to live forever? Well, I guess if he's just a sonship, maybe God won't miss him. But what if he's the Son of God?
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
I'd miss him. What do you think? Yes. You miss him, won't you?
Oh, yes.
I'd rather meet him saying, hey, I was one of those few that was happy about what you did for us, thanking God for all you did for us. Thank you, Jesus, for what you did for us.
Yes.
Right. I can do a lot of that through eternity. What do you think?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
So this whole business about Jesus being done away with. Here's another book I just happen to have that the author is a oneness author. He was a oneness speaker. Had radio broadcasts through a lot of the eastern United States. But I don't hear, he may be dead by now, but C.H. Hobbs from Lansing, Illinois. They had a church down there. Some of you may know Oneness Church. But here's, listen to him. This is another guy here. He says, God became a man. Ooh, that's a problem right there, isn't it? Okay. God became a man to create sonship. Okay, so here we are with this strange business about sonship again. A word that's not even in the Bible related to Jesus. Okay. Which was for the purpose of salvation, redemption, sacrifice, to have blood. Mediation, and to destroy the works of the devil. At the end of the age, then shall the Son deliver the kingdom to the Father. There will be no more need of sonship. He will have completed his, God will have completed his work through his Son, his flesh, his humanity. And then he goes on to say, he says, sincerely, I say it reverently, the Son will be done away with. Lord, help us. I don't buy that.
That's right.
Not anymore, I don't. I've got an in him, by him, through him gospel, and it doesn't have just to do with when he was here. It has to do with where he's at now and where he's going to be forever.
Amen.
Woo!
Yes.
I'm going to live forever because of him.
Amen.
And you're going to imagine that he's not going to be there? Oh! Now that shows you, folks, our oneness perspective.
Yes.
Was just as goofy, if I may so say. I hate to use language, but it's true.
Yeah.
Just as goofy as anything the Trinitarians came up with, just different goofinesses,
right.
I guess.
Right.
Yes. Wow.
Yes,
so that stirs me. Well, let's see the truth about the matter. Hebrews, the 7th chapter, verse 25, if you would, Pastor.
Yes, sir. Wherefore he is...
Go, I'm sorry for a moment. Go ahead and pick up verse 24, too, while you're at it.
Verse 24.
Yes.
But this man...
Ha!
Because he continueth ever...
Wait a minute. But this man, because he continues for how long?
Ever.
Yes.
For how long?
Ever.
This man's going to continue forever.
Right.
Ooh. All right, read.
Hath an unchangeable priesthood.
He has a priesthood that will never change. Here's C.E. Hobbs saying, you know, he served as a priest, but we don't need that anymore. Well, it says here he's going to be there forever with an unchangeable priesthood that will never change. Read on.
Wherefore he is able also...
Because of that, because of the fact he continues forever, therefore what?
He is able also to save them to the uttermost.
He is able to save them to the uttermost.
That come unto God by him.
That come to God... Where's that word? There it is, isn't it? By him.
By him.
How long is he going to stand for us with God?
Forever.
That's good, yes.
He never dies. He'll never go away. And the Bible never says one word about it being promoted out of existence. Not one word.
That's right.
Not one. Where do we get these things? For goodness sakes, people.
Right.
Oh, my lands. But doesn't that, I say this is one of the worst ideas in all of theological history. Can you get much worse than doing away with the one who bought us our salvation?
Come on.
This is a problem.
Amen. Yes. Yes, sir.
And God's calling us to do something about it.
Yes,
that's good.
So prepare yourselves and get ready to be good defenders.
Yes,
yes,
sir.
Wow. Hebrews, the 7th chapter, and verse 17, if you will, Pastor.
For he testifieth. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek.
Whoa! This man, C.E. Hobbs, bless his heart, but that man said that because we don't need priesthood anymore, why would we need that after you know, we get to the end out there? We won't need priesthood anymore. We won't need that sort of thing anymore. So therefore, the sonship gets done away with. What are you talking about? What is he saying here? He's going to be a priest.
Forever.
He's going to serve as our priest. How long?
Forever.
How long is forever? I think that means there's no end to it. I'm going to tell you right now, if the one who bought us this salvation isn't going to live forever, I don't have much hope about our supposedly going to live in forever.
Right, amen.
My gracious. So he's quoting Psalm 110 and verse 4 there, and I think I make that note in your outline. So the quote in Psalm 110 verse 4 is where we're quoting that he will be a priest forever. I'll make you a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Remember that? But the key word for us here is forever. And who are we talking about? We're talking about the Son, aren't we? Who gets to be the priest to God? The Son.
That's good.
Paul is saying to the people in Athens, he's saying, because God has appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he has ordained, appointed to this purpose, whereof, of that, he has given assurance unto all men that he has raised him from the dead. Let me tell you something, us and Jesus are a package deal. He gets raised from the dead, his people get raised from the dead. He gets eternal life, we get eternal life. I don't know if I can believe our oneness friends if they're going to say he ain't going to make it for eternity, and we are. I don't have any confidence in that. Isn't our assurance of resurrection and our assurance of eternal life all tied to the one who got us here?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. 4 and verse 15, if you will, Pastor.
Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the
Son. Whoa, wait a minute. Whosoever will confess that Jesus is God. Oh, don't tell me. My Bible tells me whoever will confess that Jesus is God. No, it didn't, did it? Whoever will confess that Jesus is, what are the next two words?
The Son.
The Son of God. The Son of God. But what about that then? What is the rest of it?
God dwells in him.
God dwells in that person.
And he in God.
And that person dwells in God. You want to be at peace with God? You really want to have victory in God? Be one of those people who's confessing, not only with your lips, but with your whole heart and with your life. Jesus is the Son of God. And guess what? We're in God, and God's in us right there. Because as I said before, we're on the same page with God then. God wanted people to recognize His Son. Wow. You ever done that? You had a son or a daughter, you're really happy about them, you're proud of what they're doing, they're really great, and you want people to see that, don't you? Well, believe me, God is proud of His only begotten Son, Jesus. So proud of Him that He's given to Him all things, including eternal life. And He has given to His people to share in that.
Yes.
He loves His Son so much that He is going to make sure that for eternity, His Son and His people, His Son and His friends will be together.
That's right. Yes.
That's what this is really about. Amen?
Amen.
Huh. Wow. 1 John 5 and verse 5.
1 John 5 and 5. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth Jesus is the Son of God.
Oh my goodness. You want some overcoming power?
That's good.
Right? Say, well, I want the Holy Ghost, and that's fine. That's great. But let me tell you something. I'm looking for the work of the Spirit of God that comes into the lives of people crying out, Jesus is the Son of God.
Yes.
Let's get to that one, and you're going to find some power. You're going to find some glory and some victory.
That's good.
You want to be one of those that's overcoming? Who is it that overcomes? The one who confesses that Jesus is the Son of God. There's not a single verse anywhere that says, oh, you're going to overcome if you'll just confess that Jesus is God. Not one. Oh my goodness.
That's good.
The victory is in knowing Jesus for who He really is.
Oh, yes.
And you don't tear Him down or you don't diminish Him by making Him who He really is. We have diminished Him by turning Him into a two thing, and then we say, oh, the God part's the big part, and that's really the Father anyway, and the Jesus part is this here, and it doesn't amount to much. That's diminishing Jesus.
Yes.
Now let's look at it God's way. God's way is to see, I have begotten a Son whom I love.
Yeah,
I'm going to put my words in His mouth and He's going to speak to the people and you hear Him. Hear Him. I love Him. God is going to receive the suffering and the death of His Son. So much so that upon that death, when that Son is laid to rest, God comes upon the scene 3 days later and calls Him forward from the death. Calls Him forward from the grave.
Yes.
And then after that, God takes Him up into heaven and seats Him at His own right hand. That's how God looks at this. Now, does that put Jesus in the proper perspective? Yeah. All you can do by trying to make Him God is tear all this up. Wow. As we were saying last night, you're going to say He raised Himself from the dead. Okay, well, then we just rob God of the glory that God brought to bear in raising Him from the dead. This goes on and on. So, I love this. My goodness. But aren't these scriptures awfully definitive? We're not just talking about this thought or that thought or this argument or that thought. What we're talking about here is the way it is. Who is it that God's going to be in them and they're going to be in God? The ones that confess that Jesus is the Son of God.
Amen.
Who are the ones that are really going to overcome this world at the end of the day? And the answer is those who confess that Jesus is the Son of God.
Amen.
We're not crazy. We just woke up and realized this is the truth of God and the truth of His Son.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen.
It's all over the Scriptures. 1 John 5 and 12.
He that hath the Son hath life.
Oh my goodness.
And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life.
And isn't that present tense?
Yes.
It's not about what he did on the cross only.
No.
He that present tense today has the Son.
Yes.
Has life. And you don't have that Son. You don't have life. So, y'all, we were dabbling with things in oneness that I have to honestly say just bordered on awfully awful things.
Right.
We were messing right with the heart of the plan of work of God.
Yes.
Doing away with his Son at the end of time, diminishing him in the meantime, calling him sonship and stuff like that. Mm. Calling him a piece of flesh. That's part of what helped me wake up. I was in a great oneness church. Still glad I was there. I think it was good for me at that time. Good oneness teachers. But I still remember the oneness pastor. He would every now and then come across them. God got in that hunk of flesh and walked around in that hunk of flesh and spoke out of it. My dear friends, it is not so. God had a Son.
Oh, yes. Yes.
God worked in him and through him and by him, and we're going to believe in him and trust in him and hold to him. But I guarantee you, you would offend most people. We take this good man here and he has a daughter, and I come up and I say, how's that hunk of flesh doing?
Right.
That hunk of flesh you got. The daughterhood. The, you know, what do you think?
Yeah.
You'd want to sit down with me and have a talk. Said, you don't understand this at all.
Right.
And yet we're doing it to God.
All right.
Yeah. With the greatest Son that was ever born among all men.
Yeah.
The Son of God.
Yes,
the only begotten Son of God that God himself spoke and said, I love him. I love him. And yet we're turning around and saying things back to God like, yeah, we know about your sonship business, and you're going to do away with that at the end of time, aren't you? And in the meantime, we'll kind of tolerate it, I guess. What are you talking about? We didn't have an in him, by him, through him gospel. I do today. I'm not giving it up. You can't run me from it. I'm holding to him. It's what this is all about. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Amen.